The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Arrived, and it's been a great show. Lou Riddick joining us, talking about the draft. He was at Stroud's camp today, combine today, and pro day, I should say. I'll get it right. Tomorrow, Bryce Young will throw in Tuscaloosa. Everyone will be there. And we'll have the coverage of it at 1 o'clock. Let's check out Trey in Tuscaloosa next.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Fine, Trey.
Are you sure that was Jim from Tuscaloosa? Man, he sounded great today, didn't he, Paul?
Yeah, I don't even have anything wrong with me right now, but I'm going to whatever the name of that therapy place was, Therapy South, and asking for Elizabeth.
Well, I don't blame you, but I want to bring something up. Well, it's about the caller from last week. I couldn't get in time. I believe this caller called you the devil incarnate, and that your time on this show was limited.
He did.
So I guess my questions for you, Paul, is
by the way, I don't know about the devil incarnate, but my time could be limited based on all the rumors that Jim posted on Twitter.
Well, my couple of questions, kind of personal questions for you, if I may.
Of course.
Is your buyout clause the same as Ed Orgeron and Harsin? And if so, do you plan on joining them on a lifetime vacation?
Yeah,
that's one of my questions.
If my buyout clause was that high, I would be out of here tomorrow. Unlike those guys, I work because this is a job, and I actually need the money at the end of the week. I'll probably be back tomorrow.
Well, on a more serious note, Paul, your show has been very successful, and you always are for sure to go out there and compliment the college as far as making your show. Who would you like, when your time is done, who would you like to take over the show for you? And what kind of advice would you give some younger people as to having to be paid? Because you put in the hard work from a newspaper reporter and everything else. So what kind of advice would you give to somebody younger to, if they wanted to try to have a show like you have? Because it seems like to me, as popular as your show has become, none of these other networks like Big Ten, ACC, or any of those have ever tried a call-in show. And it's just weird to me because your show has been so successful, and it's made by you and the callers, because you do a great job with the callers. And I'll hang up and listen, but I'd love to hear your advice.
Yeah, thank you, Trey. We have done this a long time. I think it helped for this reason. Not to self-analyze here, it's dangerous. But this show, it's hard to start something from scratch. It takes a long time to build this or to bake it. This show was already established. It went through various changes when it premiered on television almost 10 years ago, and then it went through a lot of other changes. This is not the same show it was on radio 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, but in many ways, the essence of it is still the same, and the essence of it is that the callers are the story, not the host. And I think too often in our industry, the shows are always about the people that host them, and I don't have to name names because they're self-evident. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. Dale is in Texas. You're on the air. Hello, Dale.
Yes, sir. How you gonna change up your song? Put the Longhorns and the Sooners in there.
You know, that's a great that's something that we better get moving on because we only have a little bit more than a year to work on it. But I think we'll figure out a way. I've already talked to couple of songwriters about that idea.
And unlike the last five callers, I was wanting to know a little bit about football. You got four top quarterbacks, but statistically two of them aren't going to make it. You got more quarterbacks sitting on benches and sitting on the beach than there are starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Why? Well, Dale, I think you're right. I mean, I think people obsess over this stuff, but Getting the quarterback right on NFL franchises is one of the most challenging things, and How many times do they get it wrong? And you know, think about the NFL right now. It's how many mistakes have been made, and even with the top pick, even with number one picks.
Yeah, but if you got a number one pick that everybody says is going to make it, they usually do.
That is true, but there are plenty of misfires. I can think of a few in recent years.
Well, yeah, you got some, but now you're saying all these quarterbacks are maybe, they might make it. They might be good quarterbacks.
Of the top four quarterbacks, I think there are two camp misses, and the other two I think is very open to interpretation. Guy is in Houston. You're on the air. Hello, Guy.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to follow along on quarterbacks. We know about Young, Stroud, Levitz, Richardson, and, of course, TCU's quarterback Duggan. All are talented quarterbacks. I hope all of them gets drafted and have a distinguished career. And they all have one thing in common. In the biggest game of their career, they lost to Stetson Bennett and my Georgia Bulldogs.
That's great.
And statistically,
that's funny.
My quarterback was better against Stroud in the Peach Bowl, and I was sitting there in Atlanta. Stetson outscored Stroud 18-3 in the fourth quarter. Both teams missed field goals. We had a great field goal kicker, could kick 50-plus yard field goals his whole career and missed one. And, of course, they had one trying his longest kick ever, and he missed it. But we outscored them 18-3 with our quarterback. Stetson Bennett has all the ability of the others. He's even taller by an inch than Bryce Young, who's a brilliant young quarterback.
But hey, by the way, I think I saw Mel Kiper today. I think he had Stetson Bennett ranked sixth or seventh among the quarterbacks. Seventh, I believe.
And I don't know who else they are, but
they're the top four that we talked about. Hendon Hooker, and then Richardson, Stroud, Levitz, and Young.
Well, of those, one of them has played in two playoff games and two championship games.
Yeah, but let me caution you on that, though. And I'm not taking anything away from Stetson Bennett, but what you said is correct, but it doesn't phase these NFL scouts. Stetson Bennett would be the number one player.
Well, I'll tell you what I think the difference is, and it's one of those intangibles. He reminds me in one way of Tom Brady. Brady dreamed of being a Michigan man. He got a scholarship to Michigan and didn't play for 3 years. He stayed with them, and finally his fourth year he got to start. His signature win was he beat Alabama in a bowl game.
Yeah. He won that game on a missed extra point.
I didn't even know that.
Man, I was there.
His signature win, though, that he led them to that, or was the quarterback for that win. Well, Stetson, of course, we know his story. He was a walk-on at Georgia, but he had that burning desire, just like Brady, to play for his college team that he was in love with. And he went through all the ordeal they had to go through, and the first year he got to start, his signature win was beating Alabama for a national championship. The next year he came back as a starter and, of course, won every game and won another national championship. He has the same chip on his shoulder that Tom Brady had his entire career, and I would love to see Stetson Bennett get the chance.
You make a very compelling case, and I appreciate it. This is Kiper right now, and again, he's only one person. Lou Riddick came on here an hour ago and said he would take C.J. Stroud number one, but Kiper ranks the quarterbacks: Bryce Young, Levitz, Stroud, Richardson. He has Hendon Hooker number five, and Stetson Bennett number six. Duggan is at number nine. So I think it's really interesting that after everything our friend just said here a minute ago, and it's all correct, Stetson Bennett ranks behind not five other people, but four other SEC quarterbacks. According to Kuiper, Stetson Bennett would rank as the fifth quarterback in the SEC last year. We'll take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Adam Rittenberg will join us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. We were just talking a minute ago about this year's best college quarterbacks and how they project for the NFL. What about the college quarterbacks that are still around? Adam Rittenberg has written about that, looked into it from ESPN. Adam, always great to say hello to you on an early spring day, although it still feels like winter. Good afternoon, and tell us what you've learned. Some of these things will probably be pretty self-evident, especially at the top. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Always good to be with you. It's a lot of the same teams at the top as far as USC with Caleb Williams coming back, the Heisman Trophy winner. Everything Lincoln Riley has done at quarterback has made him the premier quarterback developer in all of football. Ryan Day is right behind him, at least on the college level, even though they lose C.J. Stroud to the NFL. Yeah, I struggle a little bit with what to do with Georgia and Alabama. Both lose accomplished starters to the NFL. Both lose their offensive coordinators. You know, either to the NFL or different areas, and so it's going to be a little bit of an initial transition. But the track record for both Georgia and Alabama now has been pretty good for a number of years, and so they're in my top five. Michigan, what do you do with Michigan? J.J. McCarthy coming back, but for how long? Do they have depth behind them? It's not just about the starter, Paul. It's about who else could step in if there's injury, and then who can step in the 2024 and 2025 seasons because it's a 3-year projection.
A lot of questions I need to ask you, but I want to start at Texas because, to say the least, they have the most hotly contested QB battle in the country. They have two players that in their respective class were the top player, and now they're competing for the job. Break that one down for us.
Right, it's a fascinating one. You know, Quinn Ewers, you know, arrived with so much hype. You know, had that weird fall at Ohio State where he didn't really do anything except collect NIL money, and then he transfers to Texas where he's a starter for most of last season. Had mixed results, had some good performances, had some rocky ones, and now he's got to hold off presumably Arch Manning, although Malik Murphy was backing him up the other day in practice. So it's really a three-man race right now for Steve Sarkisian, who's had a very good track record over the course of his career with quarterbacks. But with Arch Manning on campus, you know, there's going to be tremendous focus on him and his development, and at what point is he going to take over for Quinn Ewers? So is there pressure on Ewers in the short term? And then presuming this is his last season, does Texas turn to Arch Manning in 2024 and 2025? Or does someone else, Malik Murphy or someone else, surprise everybody and take that job? So it's a very intriguing quarterback room, but you have a head coach in Sark who has a really good history with getting the most out of his quarterbacks.
So let me go to a couple of familiar names. You mentioned them a minute ago, Georgia and Alabama. We think we know who the quarterback's going to be at Georgia. Break that one down for us.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, certainly Stetson Bennett, who would have thought a couple of years ago we would be saying, you know, how is Georgia going to replace Stetson Bennett? They're going to miss Stetson Bennett so much, but they are because of what he was able to do, especially in the postseason. And so, you know, Carson Beck has been there for a number of years. Vandegrift has been there. Gunnar Stockton. There's some other guys in that room who are higher rated than Stetson Bennett. And you have an offensive coordinator in Mike Bobo who developed some excellent quarterbacks his first first time around at Georgia. You know, guys like Matthew Stafford, guys like Aaron Murray, who again, from a talent standpoint, most people would put ahead of Stetson Bennett, but now you're replacing the guy that led you to the national championship each of the last 2 years. So it is an interesting quarterback room, and how it evolves here in the next 3 years under Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo is going to be really interesting.
Alabama. Nick Saban alluded to the quarterback situation yesterday. It seems to be a real battle. And on top of that, a new offensive coordinator.
Right, Tommy Reese, the 30-year-old. It's amazing. It feels like Tommy's been around for a while. He's only 30 years old, stepping into one of the most important quarterback coordinator jobs in all of college football, and he's replacing a Heisman Trophy winner in Bryce Young. You know, who did everything but win a national championship during his time as a starter, and he's working with a couple of inexperienced quarterbacks. They do have some pretty good recruiting coming in, so I like the depth, Paul, going forward. But there's definitely questions this year with the new play caller and Tommy Reese, with a new quarterback stepping in who doesn't have a whole lot of experience, whether it's Milroe, whether it's Simpson. So, again, if it's a one-year projection, Alabama's probably not where I have them. But I still think by 2024, probably even at some point this season, we're going to be having this conversation feeling pretty good about Alabama's quarterback situation.
And finally, Tennessee. It seems obvious, but maybe it doesn't seem obvious. We're basing that primarily on one great game, but they have and I'm going to let you take a shot at his name because I just call him Nico for short.
Oh, man.
Could the phenom possibly supplant the starter in Milton?
Yeah, Nico I. I'm probably not going to attempt it either, but he has certainly generated a lot of attention. Certainly the NIL component of his recruitment generated a lot of views out there. Joe Milton was terrific down the stretch, certainly in the Vanderbilt game and in the bowl game for Tennessee. But let's face it, he started seasons for Michigan and he started season for Tennessee and didn't end the season as the starter. So I think it's a fair question to ask, even though he's a more experienced player, he's more familiar with Josh Heupel and that offense, which obviously did wonders for Hendon Hooker and his career and his NFL draft prospects. So Tennessee, I think with Heupel there and that system, whether it's Joe Milton, Nico, someone else, they're going to be okay at quarterback for the next three seasons. They're firmly in the top 10 in these future power rankings, but it's a very interesting question for this year. Can Joe Milton start the season as the QB1, which I think we both expect, but can he keep that job? That's what's been a struggle for him over the course of his career. I give him credit. A lot of quarterbacks would have transferred given the emergence of Hendon Hooker. I know they were very close. Joe Milton stuck it out, played very well at the end of last season. I would love to see him get a chance to get that job and keep that job, but he's got to perform at a high level given the standard that Hendon Hooker set for the Tennessee offense.
And finally, speaking of transferring, Daniels went to LSU last year. They had a huge year, but he's being nipped on a little bit. What's happening on the Bayou?
Yeah, I think they're in a really good place, Paul, even though they lost their transfer Howard to Ole Miss. But, Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that I've heard very good things about for a number of years, and he has stuck it through. He has not transferred. He stayed at LSU. I think Jaden Daniels did a lot of very, very good things in that first year as the Tigers starter, and he's going to have to continue to do good things to keep that job. And he certainly deserves to have the first opportunity. But, Brian Kelly did not come to LSU to lose multiple games and not make the college football playoff. He came there to win a national championship, just like the previous three coaches before him. So if he feels at some point that someone else can give him a shot, he's going to do that. We all remember what happened at Notre Dame back in the 2018 season when they went to Ian Book after week four or week five. Ian Book takes Notre Dame to the college football playoff. So Brian Kelly is not afraid to make a change midseason if performance dictates it. However, he certainly liked what Jaden Daniels did in year one on the Bayou.
Great stuff. Adam Rittenberg, always appreciate him dropping by here with a chock full of a bit of information there. We head to the break. Final 30 minutes of the show straight ahead. It's been a busy one. Your calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back in the final 30 minutes of the program, straight ahead, and you feeling good, you feeling bad, a little down. This man will cheer you up. Joe is next.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul, five, Mom. And hey, you know what? Hey, you don't want to cheer people up. You cheer us up. But you know what? I got to agree with you today, Paul. Jim, he did sound a lot better. I don't know if he gets off on these weeks where he just, you know, hates the world, but and then he comes back like today, and you know he's. I'm with you on this. Whatever he's doing, he needs to keep doing. But the only thing I can see bad in what he said today was, how does he think? You know, he doesn't know talent. If he thinks Jeff's a good caller, I mean, I don't get it, Paul. Is he a closet Ohio State lover or something? Because Jeff, I mean, he's just a jabber lip dirt. I mean. He's a nerd eater, Paul. When he opens his mouth, Paul, he just can't wait to talk bad about the SEC, and it just makes him look dumber than a bag of chicken crap, Paul. Because you know, and he can't wait to just put some plug about Ohio State anywhere he can. Like us down here in the South, we care about Ohio State. They ain't none of us care about Ohio State, Paul. So, Jim, if he thinks that's talent, you know, he's, you know, I'm glad he's taking whatever he's doing, whatever he's doing. Because it at least he's calm, even if he's don't know talent, at least he's kind of calm these days. And, you know, I like that. I like him to call in, you know, and be uplifting and not just, you know, call everybody Satan and all this. Because, you know, hey, I'm proud of Jim. You know, he made a good call today. He just don't know talent, Paul. That's all it is. He just don't know talent. And I would like to say this, Paul. Nick Saban, you know, yeah, he showed up at the basketball court. And, you know, maybe he wasn't thinking what he said the other day. But Paul, he even goes to the basketball games, you know, at Coliseum. I mean, he'll go see the baseball team, and he'll, you know, see the gymnastics team. I mean, he does this. He's, you know, he supports all the sports in Alabama, not just the football team. But I tell you what, when somebody steps out of line on the football team, he handles it pretty quick. So I got to give him that, you know, kudos for that, because, you know, they did the right thing by kicking that guy off the team, Paul. And so, you know, kudos for that. And I think what I understand, it's a pretty good player, ball player too. So, you know, hey, so I think he did the right thing. But anyway, I just want to say, Jim, hey, I love this call today, Paul, which is, you hardly ever hear me say. And I want to congratulate the winners on the brackets. Today's bracket. And Larry, man, he won by a landslide. So, you know, hey, people love Larry. They do. And so Larry just keeps doing what he's doing. You know, because we all love him, Paul. And I'm pulling for Tennessee this weekend, and I'm also hoping, got my fingers crossed for Arkansas. I'm pulling for all three SEC teams. You know, football, I may be against them, but, hey, this basketball, hey, it's SEC. You know, we need to take over this sport of basketball, too. But anyway, Paul, you have a good man, and I'll try to get back in with you tomorrow. You be cool, brother. Bye-bye.
Augie is up next. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, I tell you who cares about Ohio State. Georgia cared about them up until the last second of that bowl game with a depleted schedule and a kick that just went kerplunk. They would have cared a lot about Ohio State. So can't write Ohio State off. They'll be around. They'll probably be around next year, don't you think?
Ohio State will be around every year.
That's what I think. But, Paul, who comes up with the brackets? Who actually pits the round?
Primarily Danny and Jamari.
All right. I was with Hugh last year. If you had to say, who is your most analytical, philosophical caller, I would say Hugh's got to be in consideration for that title. Hugh must spend 2 weeks to come up with his... it's more of a sports opinion monologue than anything, but he's very analytical. He's decisive. He even has an edge to him, and he's not afraid to take you on. Hugh has a very well thought out position, but it's usually on some esoterical, very far fetched aspect of sports.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard from Hugh a few times through mail, and he's incredibly bright. He's got a long history. He relies heavily on his past and his experience and what he has seen, which I appreciate, and I know you do. I don't always agree, but he is never in doubt, though, which I really admire.
Never. Never. He is always certain on his point, and he will take you on. So, Paul, an idea for the future. Instead of just some random sort of popularity poll, you should pose sort of like a question and have callers debate that question and then get passed on based on the merits of their position. What do you think about that?
So you're suggesting teaching this class using the Socratic method?
Yes, yes. You can grill them.
That
you
would
can ask
really
them questions.
That would just blow that would blow a lot of people away, including me.
I think that would be an absolutely perfect skit for your show.
Yeah. By the way, for those who don't know, that's a certain methodology of teaching, especially in law school, and you really probe the knowledge of the caller through the dialogue, and I. Can you imagine using that method, Augie, with the most recent caller we just had?
Well, you know, hey, I've not got into it with Joe recently. That's why I'm staying away from him. But that tells you everything you need to know about your show, Paul, when you have to explain what the Socratic method is to your listeners.
Well, I felt like I owed that to the public.
You do. You do. And that's why it would be great. And do you think Nick Saban said what he said without any intent behind it?
I think he did intend it, and the evidence I used to offer is that he was he looked down three times when he said it.
This is not a case, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to make a statement, tell me if you agree or not. This is not a case of the media making up a story. This
No.
is a case of what actually, okay.
And
okay,
I think the proof of that is evident in what he did today. He knew that he had to put the kibosh on it. So what did he do? He drops by practice, shakes a few hands, makes sure that his PR people are taking pictures, and now look at Nick Saban. He dropped by the – he loves everyone. It was brilliant.
I got to tell you, no matter what I say, I still love Saban. I always love Saban. Hate that he went to Alabama. I love Saban. But these are reasons why I love Saban. So I'll always be a Saban fan. Anyway –
And Augie, the most important thing that Nick Saban got out of that, and I think most people missed it, whether they thought he was standing up for morality, he was letting Nate Oates know, he completely blew past the fact that one of his star incoming players was going 141 miles an hour, had half a pound of weed and who knows what else on his person, and nobody's ever mentioned that. Squirrel is up next. Hello, Squirrel.
You know, people are starting to loosen up a little bit with this weed thing, Paul, with, you know, all these dispensaries opening up all over the country. I mean, even Mississippi is
hey,
going
I,
in.
Hey, I don't mind a little bit of weed, but do you need that much?
Well, maybe he was stocking up for the future. Who knows? But as an interesting story, been a great show today. Been a great show the past few days. And, you know, I've just noticed that you've got a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ladies of Feinbaum now. You know, we we went through some stretches where we didn't have many. You know, cheerleader's been hanging in there, and she's definitely one of my favorite female callers and has been for a long time. But, man, you've got six or eight of them right now that call in fairly regular. And who is Miss Melissa? Where from Indy? Is she a SEC fan? Or?
She's a Kentucky fan.
A Kentucky fan, okay. I hadn't heard any of your calls lately. I was kind of confused. What about Peggy? Is she from Tennessee?
Peggy's really become an interesting caller. I think you'd have to agree with me on that.
She's beyond interesting. Is she from Tennessee?
She's from Knoxville.
I would have guessed
girl,
that.
Without insulting Peggy, you knew a Peggy growing up, okay?
Oh, I knew lots of Peggy's. I can just picture when she calls. She's got a glass of Jim Beam in her left hand and a Marlboro Light thing from her lips.
I just couldn't decide what sort of cigarette she smoked. But whatever it is, it affects the way she talks.
She's a Marlboro Light girl, okay. I can tell by her voice. But yeah, it's been kind of interesting. And Miss Pat's had some short calls.
Oh, Miss Pat is... I mean, she posted earlier that she hangs up quickly, so I can't hang up on her. Remember that old line? I was talking to a young lady many years ago, and she said, "I'm going to hang up on you before you hang up on me." But that was in high school, though.
I like her short calls because she doesn't have time to whine during her 10 seconds that she's on there. But I must have done something Friday during my call. I upset Jim, and I had no sooner hung up the phone than he was calling, ripping into me, and I don't remember what I said.
I warned you.
Well, I won't be offering no more advice to that jackass. I know that from this point on. But I guess we're going to get back to the old times, if you recall the old times.
I hope
so. Yeah, I hope so, too. But no, it's been a great show, and I appreciate everybody that voted for me today. And thanks for taking my call.
Squirrel, thank you. We will take a short break. When we come back, the favorite to win the caller bracket, Legend, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.